This is Roach, real one. Whereabouts were you born, please?
Brighton in Sussex.
And which year was that?
1918.
What?
Before the end of the war, the First World War.
What did your father do for a living?
Well, he was in the army, and he was in fact killed eventually. He died as a result of the First World War.
Did you go to school in Brighton?
No. We left Brighton when I was about 4.
Where did you go to school?
My mother taught me when I was very small, to begin with, all the basics. And then when I was about 7, I went to a school. We moved to a place called Osterley Park, which is near Isleworth. And I went to school there. Can't remember the name of the school.
I think you said that when the Second World War broke out, you were in Australia.
Yes.
How had you come to be there?
Well, my brother's godmother was married to an army officer, and he was going out liaison officer with the Australian Army. This was just before the war, the Second World War. And I always call her my godmother because she was my brother's godmother too. But she asked me if I'd like to go out with them. So I said, yes, I would. Thank you very much. And we went out by slow boat to Australia. 1939, and of course the Second World War broke out while we were there. They stayed there, except that my godmother's husband went with the Australian forces to the Middle East, and everybody said, everything will be over by Christmas, you know, don't bother, don't go back to England. And so I hung about and hung about. Christmas came and went. We hadn't beaten the Germans, and so somewhere about, I can't remember dates and things, but somewhere around about May, I suppose it must have been, 1940, I said, well, I'm going back, and so I went back.
Seems extraordinary that in September 1939 people were saying the war would be over by Christmas, when that was exactly what they'd said in the First World War and been proved so disastrously wrong only 20 years before.
I don't know whether they believed it or not, but I think my godmother was really rather saying it to stop me from going back to England, because I think everybody did realise that it was going to be a long, drawn-out thing. I can't believe that they thought it would be over by Christmas.
When the war was declared, did the Australian people, as far as you had contact with them, feel it was their war or just somebody else's war on the other side of the world?
No, they were very, very British. I mean, they would call England home, you know, in inverted commas. Oh, sorry, I'm going to sneeze.
Which part of Australia were you living in?
Well, my godparents lived in Sydney, but I wandered around. I had lots of cousins and people in Australia, and I went round staying with them, various places, Brisbane, Melbourne.
But the eastern part
side
of Australia. Mm,
not, we only called in at Perth on the way out, you know, because we went right the way around the south coast of Australia. when we stopped in Adelaide and Perth and Adelaide.
But did you ever come across any Australians who said, well, it's nothing to do with us, we should keep out of it?
Nope. Never. I was very much, everybody, well, I say the Australians called England, whether they'd been there on holiday or whether they hadn't been, and their parents had never been to England, they still called it home. They were very, very British.
Did that include those Australians whose ancestors were not British?
There weren't very many, I think. I met a few, but they still thought that they thought of themselves as Australians, and therefore they were very pro-Britain.
Now, you said you went home in 1940. Was that an uneventful voyage, or did you in any way run into the enemy?
No, we didn't run into the enemy, but we travelled. There was a certain amount of a number of Australian troops on board, as well as civilians, and we were sailing in the. It was a very new Canberra, but not the Canberra that cruises now. It was a 1-4, and it was all the engines were supposed to be absolutely, you know, modern, and it was a very fast ship, but it tended to break down. And we broke down in the middle of the Atlantic just after. Oh, a couple of days out of Cape Town, and there we sat for about 12 hours. And of course, in those waters, there were a couple of German armed crew, you know, armed merchantmen, and they were causing a bit of havoc with the shipping. So we sat there thinking we were going to be clobbered by a German merchant, armed merchantman. But in fact, they mended this thing. And we headed back up north. And of course, by the time we were on a parallel roughly with the West Indies, Dunkirk had started. And they were evacuating the British Expeditionary Force from Dunkirk. And we sat glued to the wireless waiting to see what was happening. And we were heading towards America. And we thought, oh Lord, they think that the Germans are going to take over Britain. But then, when eventually the British Expeditionary Force was all cleared, Germans stopped, we turned pretty well sharp right and headed north around the North of Ireland, and we came in at either Glasgow or Liverpool. I can't remember which it was now. I mean, that was a minor consideration, I think, in those days.
Did you have any intentions once you got to Britain to getting into the war in any way?
Oh yes, that's really why I came back. So that I wrote off to all the services, including the land army, and nobody answered me. They were too busy. I don't know what they were too busy doing, except for the Wrens, who answered me. And I went back home down to my grandparents in Brighton, and they wrote to me there and said go for a medical and an interview, and they took me in, and I started my Wren's Wren's life in Portsmouth.
Doing what?
Well, I was driving a lorry. We were quartered in the old services orphanage there, and I used to go over to Gosport every day to St. Vincent, which I believe is non-existent now. I think it's gone by the board. And I drove a lorry out of St. Vincent, HMS St. Vincent, for a number of months.
Were you happy doing it?
Oh, yes. Yes, oh, yes, I enjoyed it. Until the air raid slackened off, because we used to take firefighting parties down to various depots and oil depots and things like that, and pick up. It sounds very boring. In fact, I think I enjoyed it quite well. And occasionally driving the ambulance. They tried to teach me how to ride a motorbike. It was a huge great Norton, and as I'm not very tall, I couldn't stop. Because if I stopped, I had to put my feet on the ground. And when they eventually the machine fell and I fell in a heap, they said, "Oh, well, we can't teach you how to ride a motorbike." And so they gave up.
How far afield did you go in the lorry?
Oh, very seldom very far. I suppose you'd go round to the various things like Havant and the odd airfield.
As far afield as Southampton?
Now, I don't remember that, but I imagine yes. I can't remember going to Southampton.
So, but you must have had a grandson view, as it were, of the Portsmouth Blitz.
Yes. Well, we were blitzed out of the orphanage, and at least we went. We didn't have a bomb. All we had was a number of incendiary bombs, which made holes in places and burnt up quite a lot. And so they hoofed out all the ones who could be hoofed. And I went over I was quartered actually in St. Vincent, and so I didn't go back to Portsmouth at all, except for having to go take the lorry round to various places.
Which parts of the Portsmouth area were particularly badly hit by the bombing?
Well, we had a grandstand view of the time when the town hall was blitzed, and it went on fire, and it was very spectacular because, of course, the roof went on fire. It was because the orphanage, as far as I remember, was only just a short way away from the town hall, and what you call the place, barracks. Well, we were very close to torpedo. The dockyard, really, and they are obviously trying. The Germans were obviously trying to get get the torpedo, get the dockyards. And when they hit us.
Was that whole area around the dockyard razed?
No. No. It was surprisingly... It's not the thing I'd... All I remember is that we would... practically every night at that time the bombers would come over, but... I don't know what it was that we only got hit when they were trying to get Vernon. That's it, the torpedo school.
Did you use air raid shelters yourself, or not bother?
I don't think we bothered. I don't remember going in. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, I think we did have some air raid shelters. But we didn't often go into them for some reason. Because we were, when all the incendiaries hit the orphanage, we were in the building itself.
How frightening was it in the Portsmouth Blitz?
I don't remember. It's an extraordinary thing that I was thinking back about it and wondering how people react these days with the much bigger bombs and that sort of thing. But one used to sort of turn over in bed and say, oh bother, and put the sheets over one's head and go back to sleep.
Just trust to luck.
I suppose there was that in it. I think there was a terrific attitude of, well, if it's got my name on it, that's it.
What was public morale like in Portsmouth during the Blitz?
It was good. Because I used to move with my lorry. Members of it was always Royal Naval families. Of course, there were most of the houses around those places were occupied by Royal Naval families and members of the Royal Navy and their families, and. I used to have to go and move, if they couldn't stay in their houses, I used to have to go and move what furniture hadn't been damaged. And I used to take some sailors from the barracks, whoever was not doing anything, in my lorry, and we used to go and move the furniture. And I was talking about it only a short while ago. Someone was asking me if I'd ever been tipped in my life. And I was horrified the first time when someone said, here you are, and handed me some money. And I said, I can't take it out. This is my job. They said, you must buy yourself some silk stockings or something, which of course one couldn't do. And so I took it rather reluctantly and then asked the woman in charge, the Wren officer in charge, and I said, what am I to do? And she said, take it. They want you to have it. But it wasn't everybody who tipped us. They used to, where they got the rations from, I simply don't know, but they would ply us with the most marvellous food, you know, homemade cakes and things like that after we'd moved all their stuff. And if we'd taken it down to some relation or something, the house It was quite incredible, and you hardly ever came across anybody who was unpleasant. Only I think once did we have to move the things from a house where the woman was, I suppose, I don't know how I would react. But
in what way was she unpleasant?
Well, we couldn't, it was ridiculous. We couldn't get a huge old-fashioned Victorian wardrobe out of the house. And there was very little roof left. And we had to get everything out that day in case it rained. Probably was raining. British weather. And so we said, how did you get it in? How, you know, it must have been got into the house because it wasn't here when you just, it was an ordinary wardrobe, movable wardrobe, huge. And you could take the top off, but you couldn't, so often you can take a wardrobe to pieces in three pieces. But this didn't. The top came off, so we took the top off. And the rest wouldn't go out of the bedroom door, round the corner, and down the stairs, which was again round the corner. It simply wouldn't go. And we tried it over the banisters, and it we couldn't do it. It was too wide and too, well, both ways, wide and long, too long. And so we said, well, we're very sorry, we're going to bust the banisters. And she blew her top at us. And so we said, do you want your wardrobe? And she said, you can get it out, you can get it out. And this went on. And I had Australian soldiers with me, sailors with me. And we were very nearly hysterical because the house was a poor woman, a complete shambles. And so we, all three of us, got our feet together and we kicked the banisters down. The language was not very pretty. And we were absolutely hysterical. We thought, oh, it's terribly funny. It's so silly.
So there's a rather lack of proportion on her part.
A little bit. But she was literally the only one I remember, because everybody else, they fed us as if we were kings. It was marvellous. Where they got the rations from, I don't know. I expect they had farming families or something.
Was there much hatred of the Germans who were carrying out the bombing?
Well, I don't think so. You didn't think. I mean, they were up there, faceless people. Terribly annoyed, but I don't think it was hatred.
Was there any desire to do the same in Germany in retaliation?
Well, that makes me laugh. Because they get peeved about us going over there and doing what exactly the same thing as they did to us at the beginning of the Blitz. So I don't think I shall go into that because I need a soapbox for that.
So how long were you, do you think that you might have been doing the lorry driving job for the Wrens?
I don't know. I can't remember dates. But when the Blitz rather sort of petered out, I got a bit bored one way and another. And when the Wren officer in charge asked me if I'd like a commission, I said, yes, I'd love one. So I was sent off to Greenwich.
Why did you so much want a commission? Just to escape boredom?
Just to escape boredom, I suppose. I thought it would be more exciting. Little did I know. Yeah.
So it wasn't more interesting?
Well, it was very interesting because when we went up to Greenwich, we met the director of the Wrens, who was Dame Norton Matthews at the end of the war, and she would meet us all, each course that went up there. I can't remember how many was on a course. I suppose there were about 30 or something. And she'd meet us all at the beginning, and then we'd do our course. There we did live in the cellars because London was being bombed. And we spent most of our time, except during the day we worked in daylight, but at night we slept in the cellars. And anyway, we met Dame Norton Matthews, and she'd be introduced to us, and each one as, you know, this is Wren so-and-so, Wren so-and-so. And then at the end of the course, which I imagine was about 3 weeks, I can't remember, that's another thing I can't remember. And she would come to say goodbye to us all and congratulate us on passing out of the course. And each one would see her personally, and she would say, "Oh, do you mind where you go?" And I said, "No, I don't mind where I go." And so she sort of sucked her teeth and said, "Probably no, but I mustn't say that." She didn't suck her teeth. She sort of looked at the book and said, "I tell you what, we'll send you down to Southend." So I looked a bit startled, not thinking that there would be any Royal Navy at Southend, but there was a naval officer in charge of Southend. And
just before you take me on to Southend, if I could just ask you about Greenwich. Was Greenwich being bombed worse than Portsmouth then?
I don't think so. It just came into the general sort of bombing of London.
Well, the bombing of London was still going on heavily at that time.
Oh, yes.
So, because it sounds as though, you say you can't remember dates, I'm just trying to think of dates, because there was very heavy bombing in May 1941, and then it tended to tail off as the Germans attacked Russia in June.
Yes, well, it was before that. It was before the Russians.
Sounds as though it might have been the springtime of 41.
I think it probably was.
What did you think of the course that you had, the three-week course that you had at Greenwich?
I can't remember. I quite enjoyed it. I know I enjoyed the course, but I don't know what it, I don't.